Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Cape Crusader, Cody, and we are keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Lori Calcaterra. We're here to break down Path of the Pale Rider and everything in between, excuse me there. And I'm excited to have you back. We were talking backstage. I had the issue to reread issue one, and holy crap, Jude St. Clair is, man, he is going through the works. And shoo, holy crap, but how have you been since you last been on?
Say again, how have I been?
Yeah, how have you been since you last been on?
Freaking busy, man. But I mean, it's all good. It's all been like really good growth. I've, you know, really grown in the community. I've met lots of people, done lots of like projects, stuff like that. I have my own show now on Tuesdays on the Comic Related Madness Network. So I host the Tuesday Morning Brew every week. So yeah, I've been around, and you know, we got a successful Kickstarter under our belt. Now we're on to number two. So we're just keeping on, keeping on. It's what we do.
That is so awesome. We were talking backstage too. I seen you work with two of my good friends, Brandon and Sam, as well. So I think that's awesome how a lot of the indie community is starting to work together, because I think that is like one of the most strategic ways to do this, right? Like your audiences are going to be like similar, so why not work together and kind of help each other like grow?
Absolutely. And the guys are great. Like I call them the zombie bros. So it's Sam and Trey that are on Raze, and then Brandon who's on Avalon, and there are other indie comic creators, and we're all in kind of like the zombie genre. They're all a little different, but it's nice because right now people are zombie genre is kind of like jump the shark, like it's past, it's like Walking Dead is over, we're moving on, people. But it's like everything kind of circles around, and if you get someone like the three of our projects, it's the four of us actually, but when we start taking these genres and changing them and turning them into something new, it's like that's where the people will find the new sources of entertainment. We're not regurgitating another Resident Evil here. These are all original concepts. So that's
and, where we should be going. You know, like zombies, people could say it's dead, but they keep coming back, right? Like they don't stay down.
Yeah, I mean, it evolves just like anything else. Like vampires have been around forever. And it's like we've had vampire, like Dracula, we've had Twilight, we've had all sorts of scary, you know, like Blade, different kinds of vampires and different versions. Exactly. You know what I mean? Same thing with zombies. We've had slow zombies, fast zombies, zombies that have feelings, zombies, you know, that it can learn. It just keeps evolving. So that's kind of where we're at, as we've taken zombie genre and turned it upside down and done something different with it.
So give us a little recap, because what we'll do is we'll have the video play in a little clip, but give us a little bit of a recap of who you are and how you got into comics, and then after that, give us a little bit about Path of the Pale Rider as well.
Absolutely. So Lori Calcaterra again, everybody. I'm an indie comic writer, creator. I also letter our series, Path of the Pale Rider. I started writing. I came from a production company in Detroit where I was choreographing fight scenes, and I managed kind of like a fight team, and got into writing for that production company. Was writing web episodes. It didn't really take off because we moved to Texas from Michigan, so we went from Detroit to Dallas. And I had been writing in between, and that's where I came up with the idea for it, this comic. I wrote that script and had no freaking idea what to do with it. Some people read it and they were like, yeah, no, this is a comic book, which made perfect sense. I've been in comics for a long time, and so was my husband. So he was the one that was like, why don't we turn this into a comic? And I was like, I don't know, I didn't think of that. So just kind of started doing that in 2020. Like I wrote the script in 2018, finalized it in 2020, and then started creating Path of the Pale Rider. So Path of the Pale Rider is a world where the death process is broken. So your body can die, but your soul or your energy or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't leave your body when your body dies. So you get to hang out and enjoy your own decay phase. So your brain literally rots in your skull and you start going crazy because, of course, your brain isn't functioning. Your body is rotting in front of you. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole population of people that are chaotic, forgetful, violent. It's just a whole lot of chaos that happens. It just depends on how they die. They could die of cancer, they can die of getting hit by a car. It does not matter. Death has been broken. And it's not just people, it's animals, insects, fish, and nothing gets to leave. We're all stuck here together. So it creates all sorts of problems because mm-hmm. we have overpopulation. We have this community where we don't know what to do with them. It's like, do you get to own property as undead? Do you get to drive a car? Do you get to vote? Do you have firearms? You know what I mean? And this population becomes more and more chaotic. So you get to deal with, you'll get to see the fall of society, mm-hmm. Riots, things on fire, like 1001 conspiracy theories. And where issue number one starts, we are 10 years into that crisis, into that apocalypse, and things have basically devolved back to the Wild West. So Path of Pale Rider is actually a Western apocalypse. We take a few different genres and kind of mush them all together, but it works. So you got like a sci-fi element, you got, of course, a Western element, and then a mm-hmm. horror element all kind of mushed into one. And man, it's exciting when they're all together. It's really cool.
Yeah, I had a blast reading this. I don't know how much of issue one you want to go into, but man, it was that bear. It's like, I remember seeing just some of the sneak peeks of the interiors when we last talked, but like actually seeing the fight sequence was like, holy yeah. crap, dude. And
I know.
And Prince, like, oh my God.
We won't spoil that for the people, but yeah. If you like characters in my story, there's a good chance they're not going to be around for long. We like to squish people and things. So yeah, keep that in mind. You know what? I actually have... I have a slide deck here. Let me take this one out.
Here, yeah. Let me go ahead. What we'll do is we can move to a different scene real quick, and we can pull up that slide deck as well.
So if you are clicking around and you see this image, this is us. This is kind of like the icon for mm-hmm. Path of the Pale Rider. It's this living versus death, light versus dark. The dichotomy of, good versus evil, something like that. So that kind of represents our story. But this is issue number one. I'm going to go kind of quick just because this has already been out. So people, if you want to see more of this, it's on the Kickstarter. It's on my social media, so you can always find it. This is the cover that Cody has. I love that
one. Yeah, this thing is gorgeous. I love this thing.
Yeah. David Rodriguez is a great artist. And I utilize him for a variant cover and then for something else. Which was extra, which is really cool. So you'll get to see that. We got Big James Bear, and of course.
I love that right there. That's a Clint Eastwood.
Yes, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
if
awesome.
You look up the movie poster for that movie, that's what this is paying homage to. So Everett Watkins is the artist, and he does a great job for us too. So yeah, we're 10 years into the apocalypse. And I have black and white pages, and our first issue was in black and white, but I wanted people to see what Marco is capable of doing in color as well, because we're really pushing for that color stretch goal this time. We would love to skip the black and white stage and go straight to color, mm-hmm. because look at this.
It looks
work,
gorgeous.
You know what I mean?
It looks gorgeous.
I mean, just like that second panel with like the light hitting his eyes and the eyes squinting. I'm like,
so
Clint,
what's the stretch goal for the second issue that you need hit? It was around 7,000, I think, right?
65. We'll get us to color. Yeah. We'll go back and we'll color issue number one. And in fact, some of those numbers might change because I've partnered with a publisher. So my overhead cost is different than when I projected the stretch goals and the budget. Mm-hmm. So things, if we get right around 65, we'll see. If we're a little short, I still might be able to do color. We'll have to see. I have to just crunch numbers, you know?
I really like seeing that in color, though. It's like you can tell from black and white to color is like two different worlds almost.
Right. It's like his black and white is still amazing. You still mm-hmm. see a lot of detail. But when Marco colors things, it's so superior. I can't even, there's no other way to describe it.
So what's that thing he's tapping? I don't mean to interrupt you, but so like right here, that seems like it's a big pivotal part of the story.
Yeah, I wanted to introduce some of the technology created of this world. So of course, when your problem is death, and you know the main thing that Jude has to deal with is, are you alive or are you undead? And that's one of the things that the government kind of stepped in and did. So as people, you know, die, they become more chaotic. So they created this device called a disc. Mm-hmm. So they wear these on their chest and it amplifies the heartbeat. So if they tap it, it lights up. So you see the heartbeat going across. So it'll turn green when it's living, and you has a speaker at the bottom. So it will amplify the heartbeat sound as well. And if they're undead, it turns red and it kind of gives that flat line alarm, like, you know what I mean? That we're all used to hearing in the movies. Mm-hmm. So that's one way for like a police force to walk up and just like tap you on the chest and find out whether you're living or not. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a driver's license. They want you to have it on you at all times kind of thing. But since it's technology, they're hackable.
Very problematic too.
Right. Or they can malfunction. You know what I mean? So it's like, what if you're alive and like the batteries die or something goes on the haywire and all of a sudden tells everybody you're undead?
I was like, just literally thinking in my head, like, dude, hopefully your batteries don't die with this thing.
Right. So there's, you'll see these show up quite frequently in our story because a lot of our characters are wearing them. You know, you're going to see an extended flashback. You're going to see how the government has weaponized discs. There's all sorts of cool stuff. But I wanted you guys to see, like, this is an example of what Jude is concerned about. He comes across a kid. He basically puts a gun in his face, but he doesn't pull the trigger. He wants to know what he's dealing with. So hit your disc. I want to know, are you alive or undead? Because, again, if you have a gun and you're going to shoot someone, if they're undead, it doesn't work. They're already dead. So putting a gun in an undead face isn't going to do anything. They're just going to laugh. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, example A of assessing the situation and what he has to deal with. And he lets the kid go. So this is really cool, actually. This is one of the backers from our first campaign. This is his son.
Ooh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So we had a level where, you know, if you backed that reward, we would draw you into the comic. And I promised everybody that we would most likely kill you, but there's actually a couple that we let live. So mostly in issue one, you need, going forward, you either show up as a zombie or we squish you. So if you want to enjoy yourself on page and then be like, oh, I'm dead. That's kind of what you get here. So again, Jude in the wild, he has these quiet moments where things are beautiful, which are immediately interrupted with danger. There's no quiet time. There's
yeah,
no
he does
rest.
Not get yeah, he does not get a moment. It reminded me a lot of I don't know if you've ever played the Last of Us, but
yes,
I got so like I felt like Saint Jude St. Clair was like kind of like an embodiment of Joel almost, like just like kind of how he's always like just going through it, you know.
There's very little downtime for poor Jude, but that is what kind of lends to some of his poor decisions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if you're going all the time and you don't sleep, you're not making good decisions.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens when you make a bad decision in this world. So again, there's a pack of wolves. You don't know if they're alive or undead, but they just come out of nowhere and he kind of scares them off, but he's ready to fight them and he calls them chicken shits when they take off. So, and then now he's tired, right? Cause he's up all night. Both him and Prince, his horse, are tired. They come up to this family. This is where you get like most of the information from this issue, right? Because he's talking to this lady and he's just like, I'm looking for Santa Claus. And she's like, aren't you a little too old for that? And he's like, not the legend. I'm looking for the town Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, there's a road and there's a town, but I don't know what the name is. Kind of like all in the signs are gone at this point, right? So he asked her for some water. Has this moment with this little girl. And it's nice to see, you know, if she's less than 10 years old, she might not have been around to experience all the turmoil. So she's very innocent and she's very like interested in the horse and wants to give the horse apples, but of course they don't have any. So Jude has this like kind of a secret moment with this girl. He's nice to her and he gives her a secret like, hey, Prince is a girl and she actually, her full name is Diana Prince. And I named her after a warrior woman who used to protect the human race. And of course, Prince has a star on her forehead. So it kind of reminds me of Wonder Woman. So yes, Jude St. Clair reads DC Comics in this book. So just a little Easter egg,
you know,
for the
I
readers,
thought it
right?
was really interesting, you know, for the little girl too, because that's like kind of like post 9/11, right? Like there's a lot of children who were born after that who have like no idea what America was
no
like
idea.
Before. Yeah.
and didn't live through that. So didn't understand, they can't connect to that feeling of, I don't know, like anxious and terror and sadness and just destruction. It's like they can learn about it in a history book, but they didn't live through that moment. So that's kind of what this child is. It's just this innocent child. And of course the mother is just like, I don't fucking trust you, dude. You know, like, get your water and get out of here, you know? Because that's how the world really is. So, and then of course, here we are at the Kickstarter preview pages. So there's 8 pages here where Jude is on this cliffside road. It's super dangerous. Things are all falling apart. This sign, dead bear, like pretty blatant what he's gonna find here. And has a conversation with Prince, like, hey, we can go, but we just have to do what we've done before. We have to be extra quiet. And she agrees.
I love the shoe part too. Oh my God. It was
where he's like, I got something for the occasion, you know, and now it's a little early, but enjoy your new sneakers, you know, happy early birthday. So it's like, she's his companion. She's not just his transportation. It's like, The Witcher and Roach, you know what I mean? Where he has this personal relationship with Prince and, we'll just continue. So goes around the corner, finds his glass, makes a stupid decision to like dive for it, picks it up, and it's this glass that has the map of Las Vegas on it. So and then realizes like, that was dumb, what the heck am I doing, I'm not making good decisions, let's get out of here. So throws it in the thing, you know, says I have a bad feeling about this, little Star Wars Easter egg there. Goes around the corner, there's Bird eating this thing which takes up the entire road. So at this point it's like, you have to sneak over this bear or you go back. Like, there's no way around this thing, right? So here's this, I love this moment and how Marco drew it, because the bear takes up the whole road, and like that bottom panel where you see Jude stepping over and how close to the edge and how like it's so good and anxiety, where like the road is crumbling beneath his feet, and like he's helping Prince over this bear and her like foot just through his hair. It's like, oh my God. And they have this one moment of like, oh, we made it. And then she trips. Out comes his glass.
Man.
He shatters in the road. I love that moment where Marco drew Jude just looking at the glass, like in panic, like, oh my God. And then of course,
That looks gorgeous in color too. Holy crap.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is actually one of our stretch goals too. If we get to 5K, which I'm sure we will, everybody gets 5x7 of this bad boy to hang up.
Oh, that looks gorgeous. Holy crap. So speaking
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, speaking of the comic though, this isn't just like the moving, you got two other moving parts going on right now too, as well, right?
Yeah, we do. The comic book, and then we create this like fan experience along with it. So it just depends on, you know, how you want to participate. It's like, you can read the comic and that's kind of like the main story, the death, dying, destruction. It's the meat and potatoes, right? But then we also have short films, which people can interact or they can participate in. So I open them up for fan participation. And then we also have riddles. So I'm going to pull out. This is the Jose Martinez cover with Big James. But on the back, we have a riddle. So I will teach you how to solve this riddle today. So if you have the physical copy like Cody does and you open it up, there's a crossword puzzle called Seeing Red. And it has this little thing with a key on it. And if you see imagery with keys or skeleton hands pointing, it usually means look a little deeper. So if you take this little piece of red cellophane and you run it across the edge of this comic, the red kind of fades to the black, the back, and there's blue writing in there. It's kind of hard to see on the camera, but there's blue writing and it will pop out. Do you see the FB?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So there's more writing as you scroll down. So it says FB, search. See what I mean? Group. And then POTPREs.
Oh, look for the Facebook group? That's so cool. That is so. We talked about this last time, but what was some of your inspirations for doing these puzzles? Like, some of these puzzles are really like in depth. I love, like, it adds like a whole other like level of immersion to the comic book reading experience.
No, I just love riddles. This is something just really out there, but Neil Patrick Harris loves riddles.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this deck of cards. You can get a Neil Patrick Harris deck of cards. And on the Joker, around the outside is, I think it's Morse code. And if you solve the Morse code, it sends you to a web page. And then he has like three or four riddles that if you solve his riddles will get you to something else. You know what I mean? So it's like the web page where it's like there's like a cassette recorder and you can play in their music. But if you play it backwards, it plays something else.
Ooh.
And there's a little box at the bottom where you can type. So if you figure out the riddle and you type the answer into the box, it'll take you to the next riddle. So I decided to do something like that. And I wanted people to be able to have like a rabbit hole to fall into and go to one end. You know what I mean? Whereas like this one will take you to a place where you get to have bragging rights. You get to interact with all the other people that have solved the first riddle. The second riddle, you actually get to... I want to put this. I don't want to spoil anything. If solve the riddle, it will trigger something and you get to interact with one of the characters from the story. So like
that'll
you were
so cool.
Actually in the story. And I have plans for like phone numbers to call, web pages to hack, podcasts that are like fictional but based off of this world. So you're listening to things, additional content. Maybe you get to find a video where we show you how to hack a disc. You know what I mean? But like it's real. You get to like be in the story and participate.
I love that so much. Let me know if you need help with like the podcast side of things. I'd love to get involved on that. That sounds
so
cool.
Well, I need voice actors is what I need. The idea I have is a podcast where it's like these two guys who are like, it's a buddy cop series where these two guys, there's in the story, eventually there's a police force called the Collectors. And their main job is to go around and find all these undead that are hiding, pick them up, and take them to the undead retirement community. So it's a buddy cop situation where these guys are together all the time. But it's like what they're doing is actually just devastating to the people they're doing it to. But they are almost like, it's Tuesday. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you get to hear some comedy. You get to hear... you know, their point of view, and they just kind of go through the motions like they're picking up the groceries, but it's really they're tearing people out of their homes. They're separating loved ones. It's very devastating. So I like having some kind of level of drama to it, but if
I love that
voice actor, Cody,
yes, I got you. I literally was about to put out a post like, hey, like I want to do voice acting for free. So that's like, hit me up, please. Because that's the only way to get into voice acting, right? Is you have to like build a portfolio. You have to do a bunch of projects. So, I mean, hell yeah. I thought this was just going to be a podcast, but it looks like it's
we're gonna work together. But that's what this is all about. Half the time it's like meet the people, find out what other skills people have, you know, and work together so that way we can all grow.
So speaking of that, though, let's talk what we're here to work about today. And that is Path of the Pale Rider, issue number 2. We're here to talk about the Kickstarter. We got a little taste of issue 1. What can we expect in issue 2? I know there was talk of Santa Claus. Are we going to see Jude St. Clair go to the North Pole? Like, what's happening?
Santa Claus is a town in Arizona. It's actually a real place, people.
I would not have guessed.
Exactly. There it is. You're going to see Jude go to that town and interact with the people. And it's like, we saw him kind of in the wild and how dangerous it was. So now we're going to see him in a town full of people. And is it going to be more or less dangerous or the same amount of danger? We're going to find out. But, you know, he kind of mentions a guy that he's looking for in issue 1 named Dwayne Fink. And apparently he has answers about what happened, what broke the death process. Mm-hmm. And he finds Dwayne, like, right in the first 4 pages. So the preview pages, which are on the Kickstarter, which we'll look at, you can actually see who Dwayne Fink is. And of course, it's 100% not who Jude was expecting. And it brings a whole nother level of, oh crap, to the story, because here he's looking for this guy sees who he is, and it's like, okay, can we believe anything that this guy says? You know? So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what Jude does in order to get information, how serious he is about it. And he has like some really funny quirks about him that are going to start coming out in these issues. So Jude actually, he is hearing, but he had someone in his life that was deaf. So mm-hmm. he can utilize American Sign Language. But a lot of times he will sign something different with his hands than what he's saying with his words. And 100% of the time he's swearing at people or calling them stupid. So
it's crazy too. I had to learn sign language from my children because they were verbally delayed when they were starting out. And I didn't know this, but there's multiple forms of sign language as well.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That blew my mind because I would be like, oh, I know a little sign language. Like, oh, well, you know the ASL. Like, that's not the type I know. And I'm like, okay, well, I never would have guessed.
Right. Or there's variations. So it's slight variations, which could be problematic because you think you're being polite and mm-hmm. you're saying something that's actually offensive. Like, whoops. So, yeah. So we utilize American Sign Language in the comic. So you're going to see that a lot in issue number 2. Well, not necessarily in it, but about it. So mm-hmm. like one of our t-shirt designs utilizes American Sign Language. And then the riddle actually is written in sign language. So you have to translate that in order to answer the riddle.
Ooh. So mm-hmm. oh, I love that. And speaking of issue 2, it looks like you lowered some of the stretch goals as well. One of them being smashing some pumpkins. That sounds like it'll be a fun time.
It just worked out where it's like Halloween is right around the corner. We end October 30th, I think at like 9:30 or like just before 9:30 Eastern Standard mm-hmm. Time. So I set a stretch goal and it was high. You know what I mean? You always in the beginning, you put something high. So if we get there, there's an experience. So at like 12,000 and 15,000, myself and one of the artists involved were going to dress up and freaking destroy water. First it was watermelons, and then it was like, oh, it's Halloween, we're gonna destroy pumpkins. So I being a martial artist and choreographing fight scenes, blah blah, I got a bunch of weapons. So I have 3 machetes, and then I was like, it would be even funnier if it was a sledgehammer. So I'm gonna let people decide, or I might use multiple ones, but if mm-hmm. we get to 6,000 instead of 12, we will smash pumpkins. The artist who is in question, who will also smash pumpkins, this is 6,001, just one more dollar, and he will go in full out red dress, blonde wig, heels, makeup, and a stuffed thaw, and he will smash. He told me he'd even wear a thaw. Who knows what the hell he's going to do. But I'm probably going to pee my pants because it's so funny because I want to watch this man smash pumpkins and probably fall on his ass. So we're going to do some things, but I did like a little promo about it. I think that's what you're
right. Yeah, let's go ahead and check that out as well. Oh, that was too good. That was too good. I love the...
fun.
I never thought to really utilize... I have a green screen. I never thought to utilize it like that. That was really genius.
Yeah, it's just something fun. Like, we have a lot of shenanigans. Like, if you people want to participate in the shenanigans, like, the short films are so much fun. The first short film we did... We did a commercial for the Undead Retirement Community. So if you were in Path of the Pale Rider and you're flipping through the channels, like this commercial could come on where it's like promoting people, like buy your spot now because it's gonna fill up, right? Because none of us get to leave. So we're waiting for you, we're growing, we're building, and it looks like a legit commercial. And then it like fritzes out and there's static, and then it shows you like riots and like—
Oh, the chaos, I remember that, yes.
Yeah. And like we simulate a shooting. I never want to say we do a shooting because we didn't actually shoot nobody, but we simulate a shooting. Like, it just kind of gives you the idea of like what the world wants you to think it is versus what is really happening, mm-hmm. you know? So we give you that good juxtaposition of, hey, coming in, white picket fences, you know? So like people were in the riots and I made them all arm badges. They had like mm-hmm. a patch that represented like their group, and it says dead outside, still human inside. And it has like the symbol of the disc, like X'd out. So yeah, we go pretty far. And this one we did, this one we explored conspiracy theories about the death process. So I didn't give anybody any clues. They were allowed to say whatever they wanted. It's the red one, if you scroll down.
Oh, wait.
It's there.
Oh, you're talking on the Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I thought you meant you added it. So I went back. I was like, where?
No. Scroll down.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us on Channel 13 WDED. I'm Lewis Landon.
Cody, can you? I don't know if people can hear it.
Oh, yeah, we can hear it loud and clear on our end.
Okay, and now I'd like to go live to Ellie
Brock on location. Sorry, the audio won't play on yours. Sorry.
Viewer, on what you think caused this horrific crisis.
I've seen it.
So. Ellie, good evening. And how are you?
Hello, Lewis. How are you? I'm here on location today. We're going to walk the streets and see what people have to say. Hello, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
You got it.
What do you think?
I love that.
The witches. It's so silly. It's the cats.
You got to stay or act however they want.
Is this like your neighbors?
Aliens. Some of them are my neighbors.
That's
some
so awesome.
People sent in.
Where did they come from?
Fans. Outer space. You know, why do you think the death process is broken? Whoever wanted to participate.
I can tell you.
Oh, there's Sam.
That's Sam.
It's that damn sugar.
That's a good question. And a lot of you are going to say the government. I know, in fact,
she's awesome.
Most of you are going to say the government.
I think it's the government.
No comment. Do you want to talk about what you think broke the death process?
No.
Sir. What? Sir, do you have a second? I'd like to ask you a question.
It has to be Anthony Fauci.
None of this is the reason death was broken.
I honestly think it's vaccines.
What's causing the undead and what's causing the human form to turn into the undead?
That's Chris
and
it's Hayes. Not just He's death.
If you think about it, comment. This makes sense.
No comment.
Wait, are you saying we can't die?
I think it's the food that we eat.
It's in our candy.
I'm not answering no questions.
Pops being real? What? Looking crazy. That's my editor, by the way.
I bet it's the cats. I know it's the cats.
Not the cats.
Genetically processed.
Not
now.
The cats.
So GMOs.
Always the cats.
Remember the pygmies? I think they're back.
No fucking comment.
It's the nanotech technology.
A pale horse, and he who sat upon it was dead.
Can you elaborate?
Look, man, I don't know. Back off.
Maybe this is
Brandon.
Just... Yeah, I was going to say that he looked familiar really too.
I think you guys are all at fault. The media, the government, Big Pharma, you guys know who did this, and I won't stand for it.
No comment.
It's in our coffee.
Who drinks coffee with sugar?
Well, I mean, your body. So where can people everybody go find this information?
Google.
That's what I think it is. Like, specifically yogurt?
Not the yogurt.
It's in our drinks.
Can you be more specific? No. Is there a cure? I don't think so.
Honestly, I think there's a colony of pygmies, and I think they are out casting voodoo spells.
Was it hard to edit the mic into some of these?
It's in the brisket.
Yes. Green screen.
It's in the barbecue.
Yeah, I was going to say, like the way the mic moves and everything, like that seems like it would be a pain.
Of course it was the
witches. Nah, it wasn't too bad. That was actually one of the last things I did. The hardest part was trying to get everybody out to do stuff, because they were like, what to say?
You must have given me some bad stuff.
He's just said I don't die.
Your body dies.
Like this guy's hilarious.
Yeah, you stay in it while you decay.
It's sugar. Don't believe everything you hear.
It's absolutely organic.
Just the meat,
barbecue,
and the water.
And the water.
And the vegetables.
Test the limits of life.
It's McDonald's. McDonald's. And the reason McDonald's. I say that is if you think about it, their food don't actually burn.
It's
their food
point,
was designed
though.
To be consumed by the dead. But see, if you take
so
it...
So let's go ahead and dive into some of issue two
a little bit. Do me a favor. Go to the end, though, because I go out with a bang.
All right, just go back to where
I start. Not that far. Go back there. Yep.
Oh, right here?
Right there.
What's up?
I don't know why the
dead Brandon.
Look at me. What the fuck?
And there you have it. We've spent all day asking people what they think. There's some truly wild accusations out there, and let me say... We really have no idea.
Go to commercial.
That was awesome.
Someone call 911.
Someone call 911.
People were at first were like, I don't know what to say. And then they all got like really into it. So there was so much footage that I cut it down to 5 minutes, but there's a extended version below that's 8 minutes because they just go on. And then when we get to 100 backers, I'm actually going to release the blooper reel for everybody. So.
Oh, that is awesome. We are looking at Path of the Pale Rider issue 2. We're back with the next issue of POTPR, your favorite Western apocalypse. Join Jude St. Clair to see what trouble he gets into next. Currently at $4,105 of a $4,550 goal. Holy crap, you're right there, inching towards that goal.
No,
with 76 backers in 9 days.
Put me out of my misery, please.
Right here is the link. 90%. Be sure to check this out with us. And if you're unable to back, be sure to share this on Facebook and Twitter, anywhere you can with a link. Word of mouth is 100% free, and getting as many eyes on this project as possible is going to help get it funded quicker. So let's get this done, guys.
Yeah.
So Path of the Pale Rider is a brand new Western Apocalypse comic series created by Lori Calcaterra. We're back. We are Path of the Pale Rider, and this is issue 2, a multimedia experience. So I love that, too. I think it's so cool that you not only have the puzzles, the films, and the comic, but just the immersion. I love how, with issue 1, you personalized stickers on the back. There was the envelope that had the wax seal on it. I don't think I've really ever had that experience with any sort of a Kickstarter. So I think it was really cool that you want like that extra length to make it that much more like personable.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like just I want to make sure that people get what they pay for. Kickstarters, you know, you're paying a premium for an issue. I want to make sure that, I'm doing it right. Like we make sure that we mail it in a Gemini mailer. A lot of times I'll stick extras in there. I have random stuff that I'll do extra and I just kind of put them whatever. So you might get something extra from me. You never know. So there's so many things, you know, there's so many comics out there. We want to make sure that we stand apart and that we can show you, you know, what we're capable of.
Mm-hmm. And, so this is a Wild Western apocalypse that pays homage to spaghetti, Western sci-fi, zombie movies, Mad Max, I Am Legend, Book of Eli, Fallout, and many more. And man, Jude St. Clair is a total badass. I love him as a protagonist. He is such a badass. This is issue 2. 24 more pages of following Jude St. Clair through the apocalypse where the dead don't die. So here's a look at some of that character concept art. And I love this right here, man. This dude is a total badass.
Yeah, and it's so funny because he's been around for 10 years, so obviously he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's still like a kind of kick the dog character where it's like he gets into trouble and can't get out.
So right here we have a awesome variant. Give us a little bit about this variant right here.
Oh, man. Ken Salinas does this great style called Voodoos, which is super awesome, where he'll take your character and then turn him into a voodoo doll. And he, right before he did this one, he spent all weekend at freaking New York Comic Con. And he finds like big time artists and like shows them the work that he's done. So he had a Spawn cover and found Todd McFarlane. He was sending me pictures when he was hanging with Todd McFarlane all day.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you're living my best life, sir. So he agreed to do a cover for us. And I love this one just because it's Jude. You get like Maul the Big James, but you also get Prince, whose stuffing is coming out. So too soon.
So is this the color of Prince though? Like, is he white with the black mane?
She's a lighter color. She's like a tan with dark hair and then has the star. So yeah. So it's pretty accurate.
So what's the story behind, a female horse being called Prince?
Well, her name's Diana Prince. Remember?
Oh, Diana Prince. Brain fart.
But Prince is just kind of, it's easier to say than Diana Prince all the time. So it's Prince. So it's also like, it's a little Easter egg for people who read into it and find out what the real name of the horse is, you know?
I gotcha. And then you said right here, this was not how you actually sign it?
No, that's it. That's bullshit.
Oh, that's it. That's right it. Okay. There. Oh, he's saying bullshit.
He's signing bullshit in sign language.
That's so funny.
And then, of course, below that is our abbreviation for Path of the Pale Rider. So that's one of two t-shirt designs. Actually, the Ken Salinas cover is the other t-shirt design. So there's your two t-shirts if you're interested in what the designs are going to be. I love this one. It's just so funny. If you look at the way that Marco drew his expression, he's just like totally over it, you know?
When we were scrolling through it, when you said that's bullshit, I thought you meant like him signing it, but he was actually just signing the word bullshit.
Yes. That's what he's telling everybody is bullshit. So that's why I had to do like the Ken Salinas t-shirt as well, because for example, my buddy whose kid is drawn into the comic, he's in high school. He can't wear this to school. He gets sent home. So I had to make sure we had like a not suitable, this is the not suitable for work, church, whatever. But then we had the other cover. It's like, yeah, you could wear that one around. I don't think my mom wants to wear the ones with swear words on it. I'm just
Yeah. So you've also been teasing a black and white version of the Choose Your Own Path cover as well. So give us a little bit about the Choose Your Own Path.
Yeah. So so last time we campaigned, and I, you know, when we were talking about the ins and outs of the world, it became very clear that people were like, it's a weird, it's a hard place to live in because there's too many choices to make. You know what I mean? So a lot of people are asking me, like, do you ever think about doing a choose your own adventure style book? And like after the seventh person, Cody, I was like, okay, I'm going to freaking do it, people. I'm going to do it. So I wrote a 60 page choose your own adventure book. This is the spread cover that Marco DeFillo did. And I kind of was showing people the black and white one, but he, I mean, it's fabulous in color.
It looks so gorgeous.
There's so much going on here. Oh my gosh. And he references so many things. And it's really funny because when you fold it, the head of the horse gets cut off. If you're going to think I have something against horses, I don't. That was 100% Marco. And I just thought it was funny. But yeah, so you get to put on the hat and the boots, and you get to run bounties in the wasteland. You get to see how long you would survive in this world. And it's really a lot of fun. I let people beta test the first half of the story. And then when everybody kind of gave me the same reaction, like, this is a lot of fun, can I play it again? And I was like, all right. So then I wrote a second half to it, and it's in the editing process right now. It's in the second draft. So it'll be finalized, of course, when we go to print. But
let's
it's just
go.
A fun thing, you know, and another way to immerse yourself in that world. So,
And then we already checked out this, but for anyone who is interested, once again, here is the link to the Kickstarter. Be sure to check it out there. And while you're there, back this awesome campaign. It's the day after New Comic Book Day. Treat yourself to Path of the Pale Rider issue number 2. So here's some of the interiors for issue 1. Just a little bit of a close-up. We kind of already went through these as well. But I cannot get over just the detail in these paneling. Yes. This is so gorgeous. Like the dead
Marco
hand breaking off
job.
Right there. I love it.
Like into his face.
Yeah.
That's gross, Marco. He's like, yeah, I know. Bravo.
And then right here, we've seen this in color, but even just in black and white, this thing looks gorgeous.
Yeah. Yep. Big James, he's not nice. He's an apex predator and he'll kill you.
So issue 2, the first peek at issue 2. Here we have Jude. We also have the bear right there, but we have someone mysterious right here. Is this Dwayne?
That's not Dwayne. That's somebody else,
ooh,
which you'll meet in issue number 2. But it's fun because Marco's covers are usually like spoilers with no context. So he's telling you what's happening in issue 2 on this cover. But it's like you go read issue 2 and then you go back and be like, oh, now it makes sense. So that's, you know, what I love about Marco's covers is there's so much meaning behind them.
Well, now I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, we don't know who this is, but there's a white beam. It looks like going on his head. Like now I'm like, is Jude going to save this guy? Like what's going on?
I think it's more the placement where he is because he's with the bear.
Ooh,
he's kind of like spliced into the bear. And what's the bear's name?
Big James. Oh, okay. I got
you. So when
you
figure out who this character is, that's a huge indication of what's happening in this story.
Got me. You got my gears turning there. Let's check out some of these interiors and see if maybe it paints a better picture for us. So here we have is Jude.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, is this Santa Claus right here?
Yeah, he's going into Santa Claus.
It does not
very
look
friendly,
jolly. Yeah, I was gonna say it does not look jolly.
No, it's kind of oxymoron. In the saloon, you know, Jude's like, you know, the guy's basically like, you know, between the roads and that and the bear, nobody comes here anymore. So they're kind of weary of him being a stranger in this town. And he's like, yeah, I'm looking for this guy who's like super important, has substantial information, named Dwayne Fink. And he's like, oh, he's right over there. This guy.
And that, wow, this looks so gorgeous in color too.
That's what I mean, man. Everybody who's like, yeah, your comic is gray and black and white. And then they see this, they're like, oh, no, 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 I want color. And I'm like, I want color too, damn it. Let's go there together, people. Let's let Marco color this bad boy.
Love this drunk on the table pouring his pitcher of beer all over this dude's head.
He's like twice. He keeps spilling his beer on the same dude. Falls off the table, gets more on the drunk tank.
Before we get into the creators, let's go ahead and go through some of the tiers as well.
Yeah.
So we have, for $5 or more, download this, a digital copy of issue 2 and the name on the thank you page.
Yep.
We have, for $7 or more, you get download this and that, so you get both copies, issue 1 and issue 2. Outstanding price, too. How many pages is issue 1 again? Is that 24 as well?
24 as well. Everybody gets put on the thank you page if they want. So I don't think I carried that down everywhere, but like I don't know if people saw what we did on issue number 1 with the thank
really
you page.
Cool.
The thank you page is like front and center. It's like as soon as you open the book, and if you see these, there's like they're all names.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's name is put together into this skull.
I was so happy when I found mine on there. I was like, there's me.
It's like you got to play Where's Waldo. Just another level of fun.
I thought it was cool how you had the names in the shape of a skull, too. A lot of them just have them listed. So I thought it was really cool that you made like a little symbol.
Yeah, just something extra. You know what I mean?
So we have at eight. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying that was this and that.
So at $8 or more, we have the zombie starter pack. So this will be a digital copy of issue 1, a digital copy of issue 1 of Rise, and then issue 1 of Avalon. So Sam and Brandon got in on this package. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's just something we do to help each other out. Like, if you guys are interested in horror and the zombie genre, we do this for each other. Where it's like, on theirs, we'll do the same thing. It's like, you can utilize my issue number 1 and, you know, try to see if people are interested more in that. That's fine. So, you know, anything. And plus, it's like if they're into Rays and they get this one and they read my comic, they might come along for my comic, too. So cross promotion, people. It's a good thing.
And then we have Let's Get Physical at $10. So this will get you issue 2, a cover A for $10.
Yeah. At 15, no bells, no whistles.
Just at 15, though, you have To Have and Hold. So is this the one with bells and whistles?
Well, it's just like it's your A cover. The digital and the physical, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So you can read the digital as soon as it comes out, but I'm still going to ship you a physical copy. So
okay.
This is like a cover, and then all the $15 ones are now variant covers, but single issue comics coming to you with the digital.
So we have variant C, variant B, variant D as well. And then those variants are down here, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So right here is variant B, which this is awesome. So you have Jude behind bars.
This is the David Rodriguez cover. So your cover, this one, same guy.
No, that is gorgeous. And then right here is going to be the cover C. So Welcome to Santa Claus.
Yes.
When I was scrolling through this, I was like, man, this is so brutal looking. I love it.
Yes. We have our Christmas cover, Cody. It's our Charlie Brown Christmas tree decorated with zombie parts. And what did Everett say? The guy up top of the tree, his name is David because he's a star.
Like, and then we have cover D. Is this taking place in this saloon then?
Yeah, and that's actually going to be in color. Professor Richness has just been super busy. He has colored it. He just has to send me the file. Rich, if you're listening, send me the file.
And then right here is cover E.
Yes, by Ken Salinas. So.
And then at 25, we have winner chicken dinner. You get all the digital and physical issues with this one. So this is going to be a heavy hitting bundle as well. So issue 1 and issue 2, both physical and digital.
Yeah, we've gotten quite a few backers there.
So we have the NAD special. Give us a little bit about that one.
So a friend of mine, his name is Nat, and he wanted to have like a collector version. So, you know, like when you read comics, you want to open it up and you want to smell it, like thumb through the pages, and you know what I mean? But you're also, if you're a collector, you want that signed copy to like put on the shelf and it stays in the plastic. You know what I mean? We don't take it on, we don't touch it, because someday if it, you know, grows in value, it's untouched. You know what I mean? So when you grade it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what this one is, where it's like, you get the digital copy. If you want to read that first, you can. A lot of people that back this level really are getting it for the two physical copies. A lot of my people didn't even read the PDF. They wanted to wait for the physical copy.
I'm a big person like that too. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like having the physical book in my hand is so much than just scrolling on a computer screen.
Right. And of course, with me, it makes a difference, because if you're going to solve the riddles, a lot of times the hints are in the physical copy. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what this is about. 2A covers. One is signed, put on the shelf, and the other one is not signed, where you can open up and do all the fun comic book.
Is that the only way to get a signed copy as well?
No. And anything after this level, you get a signed A copy.
So at 40, we get the Choose Your Own Path. So this is where you get a the volume one of Choose Your Own Path. So is there going to be other ones in the future? Like with the Choose Your Own Path?
If it's popular, absolutely. If people want more of this, I will. I listen to what people, I want feedback. Like, if people enjoy this, they want, we will continue to do them until people tell me to stop. I'm kind of like Keanu Reeves. You still want John Wick movies, he'll do John Wick movies. You guys want Choose Your Own Path, we'll do it. There's so many other things that we can explore in this world where you have to make decisions and see the consequences. I did this one because everybody kind of knows, like, it's the plan, and there's bad. Some of the other stuff, I have to wait until we get a little further into the story so I don't spoil anything. You know?
So, Ed, 50 or more, we have the t-shirt graphic here. So you get a digital copy, physical copy of that sign as well, the t-shirt, and a keychain as well. And then that t-shirt's going to be, is it going to be the one, the bullshit t-shirt?
You get to choose. So that'll be in the survey. You either get the bullshit or the Ken Salinas Voos cover.
I love one that of bullshit. Those two are that, the two that, that looks so cool. And it's just so funny that he's signing it.
I have to get one of each. I know. I was like, add two.
And then we have the wholesale purchase. So this will be 10 copies. The wholesale purchase will be 10 copies of cover A for your shelf at $50. And then 100 or more. So this is where you get drawn into the comic. So give us a little bit about this tier.
So this is a popular one last time. So you still get all the, like, the digital copy, the physical copies, you get all the variants. And then, yes, we will draw you into the comic. All you have to do is send me a reference photo so I can send it to Marco. Mm-hmm. So we had, we had quite a few last time, but only 5 people actually wanted to be drawn into the comic, which is hilarious. So you see them. There's actually 2 in this issue. And then we have one more who's a young that we have not drawn yet. So, but if you want to be immortalized on the pages, again, we usually kill a ton of people. So you're going to see yourself either as an undead or we're going to bring you in and then squish you, which is part of the fun.
You're going to freaking die.
I mean, yeah. And if you get to live, that's bragging rights for you, because typically people don't live in this world. So.
And then at $100, we have a metal cover. So you're going to get a metal cover of cover A?
Yep. And then you get a signed... just a regular cover A as well. And then the keychain. The keychains I'm actually making myself. I actually have a Bachelor of Fine Arts and I have a degree in jewelry and blacksmithing. It's like
metalsmithing.
Dang. So they're going to be some nice aluminum backings with a piece of hand stamped leather with our logo on it. So
you have a resume that is like just so impressive, like martial arts, coordinating like stunts and stuff. And then you're like, I do fine arts and jewelry on the side. Like,
yep. I play music. I bake, you know, I'm the whole package, people.
That is so awesome. At 150, we have Bones of Despair. Nothing like getting trapped in your bones for eternity. So this is going to be some limited collector items as well, on top of a copy of all the comics and merch. This one's pretty twisted. So what's so twisted about this tier?
It's a secret, and you have to be brave enough to get it. I had one person brave enough to get it so far. But if you can imagine, like, you put a seashell to your ear, you hear the ocean. In this world, it's like the bones, you're still stuck in your bones. So if you put the bones to your ears, can you hear the souls of the damned and the bones? We'll just leave it at that. It'll be something you can put on your shelf. It is kind of warped. I'm not anticipating making a lot of these because people are kind of scared, and that's good. That's what I want. If you want one of these, definitely an experience. You're not allowed to share it on social media. We'll just leave it at that.
Ooh, so you can't share it on social media either. That sounds like it's going to be some good. Some good, good. And then at 200, we have the Jude St. Clair Funko Pop. Yay. So, oh, you actually have it. Hold on, let me zoom in on it real quick.
In Biggin.
That's so awesome. So, what did this come from the Funko Pop like factory?
No, I had this.
It looks so
made.
Legit though. It looks so legit.
It does. Like, my guy is amazing. Super great, and he's part of the fandom. Like, he follows along in through, you know, everything we're doing. So it's him and his wife. I think they have a couple people, but he hand sculpts these and he hand paints them, and then she creates the graphics for the boxes. But look,
that's so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a legit Funko, you know?
See, I have one someone made for me, and mine's not even that legit. Like, they just took a head from one and then took the row from the other and just stuck it together. This was back then when I never used to have facial hair, and I used to, like, buzz cut my hair all the time.
I was like, who is that? Is that Voldemort?
Well, it's like, so it was like back, I used to be a big Twitch streamer, so I'd be playing Dark Souls all the time, and I caught it going through my Britney phase where I would just get so mad I would shave off all my hair. Not laughing at Brittany, laughing at me shaving my hair.
Oh, man. I got to go back and watch some of those.
And then that is it. We are on to the stretch goals.
Do me a favor. Keep scrolling down. Someone get the other Funko Pop. So the Funko Pop from last campaign was Jude St. Clair, was this $500 singularity level. So she has the one white box Jude St. Clair, which is the most exclusive. There will never be any more white box Jude St. Clair. Mine is a brown box, and Marco and I have these. So there's two. And then everybody else in this campaign that backs the Jude Funko Pop is getting an orange box. So that's kind of your level of exclusivity, right? So we're making a freaking, it's a large pop. So it's bigger than that one of Big James the Undead Bear.
Oops, hold on 1 second. Yeah, right here.
So this one is gone, obviously, but I just wanted to let people, we're going to continue with the Funko Pops until people tell me to stop. Same kind of thing. Like when that came in and I showed it on social media, everybody's like, how do I get one? And I was like, okay, I guess I'm opening this up on the next Kickstarter campaign. But it's going to be exclusive as you guys want. We do max of 50, but I'm not ordering anything additional. So if you want a Funko Pop, you have to get it in the campaign because they're kind of pricey to make. My guy is not cheap because he does excellent work. So it could be as exclusive as one of four, one of eight. You know what I mean? It just depends on how many people order them. And since it's a higher tier, usually it's going to be more exclusive. So if we do another Jude, it won't be the same design. We'll take his shoes off. We'll make him half undead like David Rodriguez's cover, something like that. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
So, but James the Dead Bear is coming next. So
yeah, that sounds so brutal too.
He's a beast.
Yeah, that sounds brutal. That sounds brutal. So now we are on to the stretch goals. At 100 backers, you're going to release the blooper reel. So that's going to be from the interviews?
Yeah, from the conspiracy theory one.
And then was that your hot sauce too? Or what did you just pull up?
Yeah, it's just something that my friend did for me. We're not putting them on the campaign. I just think it's super cool. And I'm not brave enough to actually taste this because it has ghost pepper in it. But my buddy does hot sauces and he
that
made
looks
me
so
a
cool.
Where it's like out of the pale sauce. And I'm like, this is probably what broke the death process here. I would probably kill me.
I love the hot sauce. That is so cool. Is that with Rabbit's Bad Song? Is that the person helping you?
No, he's a super cool guy too, but it's Chris Brown from Laughing Rogue does.
Okay, I gotcha. So. Yeah, I was gonna say that hot sauce. I've seen like that. The hot sauce is awesome too. I love that. So
that would be a perfect thing for Rabbit's bad song, right? Because isn't his thing? Is this something about rabbits and like fried chicken?
Yeah, and he does hot sauce too. I think you guys should do like a hot sauce cross promo. Yeah, he makes his own too. I think.
Dang. I don't know. I've never made hot sauce. I can't do it. Sounds something I can't do, people. I will not make hot sauce.
So we have $5,000. You want more merch? I can make more merch. Colored 5x7 prints of Big James. This is so gorgeous. We have Jude St. Clair right here wondering what's going to go on behind him. Man, James is getting ready to rip him a new one, it looks like.
Yeah, for everybody that's read issue one, it's a bad day. They know. They know it's a bad day. What happens?
At 6,500 color issue too. So to be clear, this Kickstarter will be fulfilled in color from the jump. No black and white release and re-release, just color. That's what we're shooting for, is a colored issue every time. So going forward, you're looking to have all the other issues be colored as well?
Yeah, that's the hope. You know, hopefully we grow every time. It's hard in third quarter, so we'll see if we get there. But like I said, my budget is different than when I put this live. So we still could maybe do it if we don't get there. But let's get there, and then for sure I can do it. You know what I mean? Because look at this.
It looks gorgeous in color, too. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
So at 7,700, this is a big one. If we can raise this, Marco will go back in color issue one, and we can re-release it on a limited run. Holy moly, let's get this done. So that's awesome as well. Not too much more. What, 1,200 more to get issue one color? That is awesome.
Right, and then, because honestly, we've done part of it already. So we had extra funds left over from the first campaign that we invested into the project, which is going back and coloring some pages. So.
And then at 10,000 is a one-shot, The Skinner. This will cover the production of an 8-page one-shot that develops another side of the story. So for those of you who have read Choose Your Own Path book, you know The Skinner is one badass mother with art produced by Allison McGlone. So that sounds awesome, too.
Yeah, Skinner is, he's bad. He's a bad Like, if you get to choose your own adventure and you get to do the bunny against Skinner, good luck.
And then we have some updated stretch goals as well.
Yep, and that's the pumpkin one. So myself and Professor Richness, those are both dropped to 6,000. And like I think he said 6,001. It's pretty much the same thing. You know what I mean? So we'll smash pumpkins. We're going to have fun. People who know me know I love doing stuff anyway. So if I can get the giant sledgehammer out and smash some pumpkins, it'll be a good day.
So you have 13 issues of material written and just waiting for production. That sounds like one hell of a ride. We're only on issue two, so we're right in the beginning.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. It's like someone was like, hey, you're going to start producing these a little faster? And I was like, I would love to. Let's talk about that. It's like, because right now it's just Marco and myself, but we'd have to bring some more people in order to do that. It's like we gotta crowdfund. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like 13 issues, that's gonna take it. I mean, it's a wild story. If you guys can gauge what happens in issue number one and understand that every issue gets a little crazier and you find out more of the story. I'm 9 issues into arc number 2, and for how crazy arc number 1 is, Arc 2 is like 100% more crazy. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a wild ride. And I'm really excited for you guys to come along for it, you know?
And then we're going to have some more puzzles and riddles in issue 2 as well?
Yeah, of course. I don't want to post it because people have been solving number 2. It's actually, I think it's easier than number 1. So, it had to wait. So where I wanted to post it, I kind of teased it on social media where I'll put it up in like a live stream here, but then I'll take it down, you know, because so people can't be like, hey, Laura, I got the answer. Great. I can't do anything about it yet. You got to wait, you know? So I want to wait, you know, until issue number 2 is done. When the PDF goes out, then we can start participating in, you know, the experience. So.
No, I got you. So here is the Kickstarter. Real quick, after going through it, what would you like to say to anyone who's kind of on the fence about backing? If you just had a few seconds to kind of talk to them directly.
This is a wild story. If you like any of those things we have mentioned, sci-fi, Western, horror, it's all in there. And I love throwing Easter eggs. I'm a giant nerd. So you're going to see references to other things besides those genres as well. Like I reference Lethal Weapon. I reference Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You're going to see a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And where we have gone from issue to issue 2 has really grown. And I am looking forward to doing more of those fan experiences, doing more cons, meeting more people, and just understand that I listen. So if there's something that you want from this experience, please let me know. I will make it happen. And if there's a reward level that you see and you want to tweak it, let me know. I make that happen too quite a bit. So absolutely, come along for the ride. We got lots of shenanigans to participate in. I'm pretty sarcastic. I like having fun. So we'll have a fun time. There's no hesitation. If you just want to do $5, power to you, man. Come along for the story, you know? I think that's about it. And I love you.
What's next, though? What's after Path of the Pale Rider issue 2? You know, what's next for you in terms of creation?
Issue 3? It's all done. It's like, so I need to have time to sit down and finish arc number 2. I have it all in my head, and it's like I'm up to the third act. So now at this mm-hmm. point, I've built all the characters, and I created all the drama, and now it just has to resolve. There is a third arc, which will end the story. So yes, there is an ending. This is not an ongoing thing, but it's like by the time we get there, I'm going to take you through such a crazy ride. You'll be ready for it. It's a great ending to the story. It's kind of like it's been thought out since the beginning, so mm-hmm. it'll be great. I am also partner with Charter Comics, so they're my publisher. I will have opportunities to write on other things going forward. I'm going to be involved in a comic book called Psycho Sal, which is actually kickstarting issue number 2 right now. Really cool story. And you get to see it from different perspectives. So like mm-hmm. it's a story about a serial killer that is functioning in New Orleans. And issue 1, you get to see the murder being investigated by the detectives. So issue 1, 2, and 3 is from like the detectives, the homicide department, you know, from their point of view. Issues 4, 5, and 6 are from the victim's point of view.
Ooh, that's cool.
And then 7, 8, and 9 is from the serial killer's point of view.
That's so awesome. I like that.
Yeah, I actually get to write 4, 5, and 6.
That sounds like it is going to be so much fun, dude. Holy crap. That is awesome. Excited.
Because I excel at making people like a character and then I'm going to squish them.
Yeah, you do. You do.
So I'm really looking forward to like putting myself into this story and like really growing as a writer mm-hmm. as well. You know, I'm going to be involved in that. And like some of the other stuff with Charter Comics, they're writing a series called The Nut Brigade, which is super hilarious and not kiddie, but it looks like it's like Looney Tunes type of cartoon. Comic book, but it's about a band of squirrels that are actually assassins, and they're like responsible for like the JFK assassination and like all these.
That sounds fun though. That sounds like it's so much fun.
Like it's gonna be a ton of fun. So I'm gonna be involved in that. Like I really want to do more cons. And I have other stories that I've written. I've just chose Path of the Pale Rider to kind of get out there first. So I have like one of the web series I wrote called The Agency, which is about more like spies and espionage and heavy martial arts, heavy fights. But also it has like a really great twist to it. And it's what you think it is. Mm-hmm. So I have other stuff that's going to be coming. And I'm just excited to grow. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good time. Like, I love coming in on other people's shows too. Like, Cody, I love coming in and checking on you and be like, what are you doing, Cody? Like, how have you been? You're watching your progress and I'm excited for you, you know?
Thank
and like,
you.
Let me come back on the show. We'll talk again. Yay. You know, we can catch up and all the things that, you know, it's really cool to see the community grow just as a whole. So I'm here for that.
No, I appreciate the two. In my head, I'm thinking like, how can I get Brandon, Sam, and Lori like on one podcast? Like, what could we do? Maybe a zombie panel. I know, Sam, if you're listening, I know we call your guys infected, but they're zombies at the end of the day. Let's keep it real.
I mean, same thing with mine. I call them undead, but they're still.
No, I always razz him because me and him, we were talking and he told me they're infected, but I see him on Twitter. He's like, check out my zombie story. And I'm always like,
exactly. Which one is it? Pick it, you know? And I'm the same way. Like, it's a zombie horror. And I'm like, except for it's not, but you know.
So we
like,
come
how
to
do you explain to people. It's like, it's too hard when it's something, it's a new concept and you got to mm-hmm. like take 5 minutes to explain it. And like, it's a zombie horror.
We've come to one of my favorite parts of the podcast, and that's where I get to ask you a question that might help someone who's new into the industry. So for anyone who's out there and who is watching and they're having trouble building, I guess, emotional ties with their protagonist, building enough momentum with that character to have those moments of impact just really hit. What would be some of your advice for, you know, really nailing that?
My advice is when you are writing a character, when you want people to relate to that character, one, don't make them perfect because everybody has flaws. And two, show the reader who they are by their decisions that they make. Your story should be driven by the decisions of your protagonist. It's much more exciting to see your character choose what's happening as opposed to things happening passively to them. It doesn't mm-hmm. really tell you who that character is if stuff is just happening around them. It's when Jude, I'm just going to use my character as an example. You know what I mean? Like, we learn who Jude is in that first issue, like how he pulls a gun on a kid but doesn't pull the trigger. You know, what he's like in the middle of the night fighting the wolves, like how he treats that woman and her child, and ultimately how he treats Prince, the conversations mm-hmm. that he has, the path that he's on, and what happens at the end absolutely tells you who he is, you know, how he picks his stuff up and keeps going. It's different than like someone else coming into the story and doing things to them. Yes, there's a reaction, but still, it's like when you let your character choose things, that's ultimately my suggestion of how to get people to really know who they are and be emotionally attached.
No, I like that. And I think, yeah. I think having them choose their choices really puts you in the mindset of who they are, right? Because mm-hmm. it might not be a choice you would make. And then you're in your head having that internal conflict of like, well, who is this character compared to me as a person? Like, it really gets your gears churning. I think that's awesome. Thank you so much. Lori, this has been an awesome chat. Everyone watching, here is the link once again to check out this awesome Kickstarter. If you're unable to back Path of the Pale Rider issue 2, you know what to do. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Word of mouth is 100% free. Lori, thank you once again for stopping by. This has been an awesome chat. Where can people catch you? You said you do a live show of your own now?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. In fact, people are probably sick of me at this point. Sorry. So I have a Facebook group called Path of the Pale Rider. I have Instagram at Path of the Pale Rider with an underscore between all the words. Same thing for the TikTok at Path of the Pale Rider underscores. I have a website, www.pathofthepalerider.com. And Twitter is at Path Pale Rider. Tuesday mornings, I'm on the Comic Related Madness Network. My show is called The Tuesday Morning Brew. It runs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We usually have a full group. It just depends on who's willing to come on that day. But it's like herding cats. It's a bunch of comic book creators, and we all talk about crazy things. I will periodically have guests come on and talk about their projects and just kind of like the show. It's organic and crazy things happen. We don't have a filter. We drink coffee. We're over caffeinated and I play with knives.
That sounds like a fun time though, right? Coffee and knives.
That's what we do. I'm going to be at Cowtown Comic-Con this weekend. Actually tomorrow. Woo! The 22nd and 23rd. It's in Fort Worth. So if you're in Dallas, Fort Worth area, come see me at booth 1803. You'll get to see myself and you'll get to see Marco DeFillo, who like doesn't make appearances and never comes on the show is because he's shy. And I keep mm-hmm. trying to get him to come out more, but you got to convince him not to be shy. But if you love his art, like we're going to be at the same table so you can come see us together and we could both sign your book. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. So.
No, that is so awesome. Well, guys, you know what to do. Check it out. I hope you all have an awesome Thursday night. But most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.